To clarify the terminology, the category is who. Someone wants to stop eating meat in order to practice restraint, but the thought of eating meat is obsessing. If this person does not give in and stays with determination not to eat meat, is this called an obsessional defilement? If this person does eat meat, breaking the determination, is this a transgressional defilement, even though it's not ethically transgressional?
So that
Thank you.
it is, you are reading someone's question and I'm answering. So there are three psychological situations are connected. But to that particular person, we can say, if you take a determination, good or bad, if that determination is helping mindfulness, you are correct. And if determination is no significance to the mindfulness, we don't care the determination. And after taking the determination, you break it and see how is the mindfulness. And without breaking, how is the mindfulness? So mindfulness is a kind of a sensor, indicator, whatever you like, whatever you do, if it is conducive for mindfulness, that we generally accept. Your determination is correct, your restraint is correct. It is not an obsession. If it's a distraction, may or may not be a obsession. So therefore, if someone can talk related to the mindfulness, we can share. Otherwise, very difficult to comprehend the situation. What do you see? What do you say?
So both of the examples kind of like depend on the mindfulness that is in the mind of the person. Is that right?
Yeah, if it is helpful for mindfulness, that is good. If it is not helpful for mindfulness, you have to reshuffle, you have to redo it. So mindfulness is a kind of a indicator, kind of a sensor. So you see the situation with respect to mindfulness. And if you are sharing us with the related to the mindfulness, we also can discuss. Otherwise, we have to analyze it in general terms.
Like the law, yeah, the general terms will be the law.
Yeah, that means what is your country, what is your religion, how do you feel it, and all the kind of thing. But mindfulness give a complete universal way of application. If something conducive for mindfulness, we continue.
Okay, thank you. I hope it's enough also for the person who asked the question. If not, we can send more via email. And then there is another one from Anuradha. I noticed the following in my sitting meditation. I was aware of my posture sitting on a chair. The awareness rested easily on the breath. This time, apart from the differences between in-breath and out-breath, such as coolness and warmth, I noticed that each in-breath was different from the previous, sometimes in length. Or the force with which it hit the inside of the nostril, the way it felt inside, namely sometimes as a straight flow or sometimes as a wave. Then there were times when two in-breaths seemed quite similar. Then the middle parts of both upper and lower lips felt as they were quivering. This was slight and then gained intensity. At the same time, I felt the in and out breath too, but not so mindful about the differences of in-breaths as I felt a pull towards watching the lips. At this stage, I felt as if I was watching the lip and nose area from outside. After a while, breath settled into a seemingly constant pattern with nothing special yet very comfortable. With nothing special yet very comfortable. After a while, I felt a boredom, but it passed away and rested on the breath, which was going at a peaceful rhythm. This stayed till I mindfully opened eyes and got up to proceed with daily duties. I would appreciate any advice from the Most Venerable Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah, this is fairly entering into this transitional period. You are not only observing the difference between in and out, you are observing to in-breath to in-breath differences, out-breath to out-breath differences. So when it is happening, third dimension happened, the quivering nature of the lip. That's also part and partial of the bodily mindfulness on the body. But when that happens, you attract attention from the breath to the other place may happen. But still, if you can see whether still you are maintaining the difference between in-breath to in-breath, out-breath to out-breath, that means you are very skillful, you can do multitasking. And when again in-breath and out-breath, sorry, in-breath is appear like a constant and out-breath appear like a constant, I would like to suggest, as far as you see the beginning of the in-breath versus beginning of the out-breath, usually they have a differences. And if you are aiming at the end of the out-breath and the end of the in-breath, exactly the same. So you can see the in-breath from the beginning's point of beginning of the in-breath of point of view, or end of the object. So when this is changing, beginning is always multivarious, dramatic, and changes are there. But the end of the in-breath and the end of the out-breath is usually equal. So therefore, you have to continue just to see whenever such a transition happens, it may be calming down of the breath, or your attention is more focused to the end of the in-breath or out-breath, or maybe your attention is going to the lip and the quivering. So you have to balance it and see whatever it may be. It's a demanding position. You need so much of patience. Don't arrive at a decision and increase the observation. Or rather we can say, increase observation, less amount of inference, less amount of decisions, and let it happen. So imagine if you are a scientist and you observe and make a decision, next time you see the same, there may be some other changes. So that is why science is disproving the science. So we are also in meditation, observe in a reductionist way as a scientist, but keep the changing nature open. Changing nature can happen shape-wise, manners-wise, natural characteristics-wise. So increase more and more without rushing to a decision. You are in a demanding place, and continue with enough enthusiasm, enough diligence, and soon you will learn the art not to rush to decision. That means non-judgmental, evenly suspended attention, or choiceless awareness. So they happen through this experience. So be patient and continue, please.
Thank you very much, Bhante. May I ask a question? Is it permissible? When you said it is a demanding situation, like when I feel the lips as well as the in-breath and the out-breath, everything. Now, since my attention was sort of pulled towards the lips, is it that you suggest that I put the focus on the breath and to see the in and the beginning and the end, and just let the quivering be, if it is there, kind of shift it?
Of course.
Is that what you meant?
Of course, you don't have a choice. You can't select. You have to just see if it is in-breath and out-breath. Just see, give more attention to the end of the in-breath and end of the out-breath. If the third dimension or another variable like lips happen, it depends if that signal is prominent and conspicuous, that naturally mind goes to that. Even if you pull it back to the in-breath and out-breath, it will go back. So you have to be patient and see. This is how our mind is playing tricks. Whenever you are reaching to the critical area, the demanding area, a lot of other things come and disturb you. So you must maintain the mindfulness, so mind without much disturbing, knowing now my attention is not with the in-breath and out-breath, it is with the lips. So whenever that allow me to go to the in-breath and out-breath, if I have the chance, my willpower, I will just see the end of the in-breath, end of the out-breath. So this is how you must be tactful, without rather jumping into the situation and disturbing it. So the opposite of your maximum or other side is let the things to happen in a effortless way. But it is one end. The other end is you are manipulating and monitoring. But in between, you must maximize the mindfulness and understand this is a transitional period. Don't arrive at a decision in a one occasion. Let it happen again and again. And easily, when and where are the observations enough, observation completed, a decision will happen like a cascading water. When the upper layer is filled, it will cascade down. So you are in a very interesting, dramatic, important area. Be patient. Let it happen again and again.
Thank you very, very much, Mate. It is very much more clear. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Hi Bhante, this is Zoltan. I would like to have some questions and report some status about the meditation. First of all, I would like to ask a few questions regarding the sitting meditation. Last day I made good progress in the way of stabilizing the mindfulness. So my question is related to this initial phase of the sitting meditation. It is possible that first you need to, with the concentration or samatha meditation, to stabilize the mind, and then you move to the mindfulness by observing the in-breath and out-breath.
So stabilization also not a different pace. It also a part and parcel of your mindfulness. First you have to make body balance and observe the body mentally and give the most conducive situation. It is like before you go into the car, before driving the car, you check whether you have enough fuel, enough water, nuts and bolts. And otherwise you are not putting the car into the road, if it is specifically for a long trip after resting a long time. So likewise, you have to make sure that part also, you can say it's a part and parcel of the mindfulness. It is not belong to samatha or vipassana. And then easier, because you get the support of the body, because body is peaceful, and then you can go into the primary object as such, not the whole body. You can reduce, you can concentrate either to the tip of the nose or to the rising and falling. If I got the question, that is the answer. Please correct me if your question is different.
No, it was okay. Thank you. And my second question is that essentially 2 days ago, I needed this concentration at the beginning of the meditation to achieve some calm state. Previously, I was talking about obsessive thinking process, which I bring in from the household life. So it seemed to me that this concentration at the beginning of the meditation was able to somehow broke or weaken these hindrances, and then the mindfulness was working better way. But today or after a few days, it seems to me that I don't need this concentration at the beginning, but the mindfulness is settling in even without this. So is it possible that I already weakened the hindrances from the high household environment, and I don't need that initial concentration practice, and I can start immediately with this mindfulness.
Imagine when you are stop the car in a uphill, then when you are starting again, you have to give a lot of fuel because it is onward to the uphill. But it's a flat. After stopping the car and to start again, need little gas, little oil. Imagine if it is a downfall, need no anything. So likewise, according to the ramp, the amount of initial fuel you are using is different. When you are in a meditation center, when you are in a residential retreat, all these things are working positive towards the mindfulness and the concentration. So therefore, first day, second day, third day, you find the initial energy, launching energy is less and less. That is because of the mental situation as well as the physical situation. So you must make use it for your benefit. And when the situation is different, again you have to start like a beginner. So maybe your atmosphere is good for you and the mental backup situation, or rather preparedness, is good. So that is how less amount of initial energy, launching energy, necessary, as I see, as I observed.
Yes, and thank you. And one last question is regarding some effect I noticed, which I cannot really understand, or it's confusing to me, that it seems to me that after some time in the sitting meditation, somehow the mindfulness is pulled into specific object or to the body itself, to the feelings of the body, to the pains. Regardless, if I try to observe the breathing in my usual meditation object, the nostrils, I can keep only for few or five or six in-breath, out-breath, but immediately it seems that it is pulled into the body, and I'm observing the feelings in the body, the pains, even the breathing from a perspective of the complete body. So I guess that at this point it doesn't make sense to try to keep the mindfulness on the breathing or sensation on the nostrils. I guess it's the main object is the body in this case.
That can happen. Yeah, more and more you shift from the focus or attention to the tip of the nose or the whole body. When it's happening, you will familiarize this. You can season it. And what is the challenge for you is, while you are observing the whole body, occasionally you can see the breath. If the breath is calming down or getting aggravated, you become closer to the breath or you become distant from the breath. Likewise, there are patterns. There are some trends. So you have to understand, occasionally you may be looking at the breath, but there are some, we call manners. Try to observe it. Even mind is jumping from the whole body to the in-breath and out-breath, the body may be showing some patterns. So it's a two-dimensional kind of observation. And whether mind is go to the body and come back, or whether it is completely with the in-breath and out-breath at the nostrils, make little difference if you know the art, if you have the prepared mind. So try your best.
Okay, thank you very much.
Morning, Bhante. This is Samran. Unfortunately, after Dhamma talk, I will be leaving this marvelous place. So I would like to thank you for great instructions and very accurate and helpful answers. I will keep joining remotely if possible. I have like a couple of experiences, but they all kind of point to the same perspective, I think. So so I'll start. Like yesterday, after the Dhamma talk, I went for a walk, and there was a lot of this kind of nekama, this joy of renunciation. This is how I felt it, like very light, like I wanted to like throw everything away. And I was feeling this lightness of not caring anything with me. And I was literally like laughing out loud. So that was really, kind of instructive, because I felt that letting go is not supposed to be, you know, like some difficult task, but like a joyful act of like letting go everything. I had some experience when I noticed that I have to let go of the making decisions, like appropriating making decisions. Then the mind was scared a bit. And then I noticed that there's this like greed for special experience, for some like perfect, you know, enlightenment or something. And there was a rebellion in the mind against this kind of this intention in the practice that I recognize that this is like to get something. So I try to be as natural as I can. Curious. So I ended up with this part of mind that was natural, but it didn't want to practice. It was like this kind of insulted, hurt child that doesn't care about, it didn't sign up for this whole Buddhism thing. It didn't have any motivation to do that. And I realized when I'm really honest with myself around motivations for the practice, there's this clear like motivation of like this kind of young part of the mind, like a eager schoolboy that wants to get something. But there are other parts of the mind. And I was reminded like some, I think it's Ajahn Chah Nisaro who talks about committee of the mind, how we need to learn how to motivate different parts of the mind. So my question was with regard to this is how do you see that? Is it necessary to learn how to start the practice from different perspectives with different kind of motivations, and so that we can join them in the practice? Or is it sufficient to just start with any kind of intention, even if it feels like striving or unwholesome, and then kind of collect the mind within the practice, so to say, even if it was started with something that feels like unwholesome or like partial motivation? Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, so as I gathered, you are at a time ready to let go of the decision-making process. At a time, mind is judgmental. So whenever it is judgmental, it is rebellion kind. Tension, the frustration and kind of thing. Whenever you let go of the decision-making process, no motivation. Mind becomes sluggish-like, mind becomes bored-like. So now you are within yourself, both of them are happening, they are reciprocal each other. When you are letting go of decisions, you are understanding it with the light of the judgmental mind. Whenever you are judgmental, you understand the good and bad of that kind of, because you have another option not to decide, just letting go. So this is a kind of a good opportunity, good chance. You yourself create itself and don't rush. Just let the mind ask. If you wish, you can be judgmental, and then this rebellion mind, the young mind, the tension, frustration can happen. And otherwise you can go letting go of the decision, just like letting go of things, and you don't have any motivation. Then the boredom and lethargic can happen. Have I got the point, or do you think you are referring to something else?
I think so. I mean, this kind of rebellious part of it feels like it. In my practice, I'm not like involving most of the time the my whole mind. it feels like this, and also on the level of the body, yeah, I like some parts of my mind are like of the body are inaccessible, and I don't know, maybe I'm making this up, right? But it feels like there's like a conflict in the mind. And these like two parts really don't like each other, at least when I see that in this way. So I don't think it's necessarily related to the fact of letting go of the decision making. It was just like a turning point in the practice. But it's okay. Maybe to rephrase the question. Sometimes I take a step back to be when I try to be really honest with me, so that I can practice like wholeheartedly. Like what are my motivation for the practice? What are the like intentions? And then when I discover that there's this like eagerness and this like a kind of childish, you know, wanting to succeed in something, then there's this kind of rebellion of the other part of the mind that doesn't want to be like this. And I don't know, I'm trying to be with that attitude and trying to see how this attitude can find the different motivation for the practice that wouldn't be so like, I don't know.
I can give the model. Usually the neuroscientists are telling left mind is judgmental, decision-making, just like a boyish character. But the right mind is no judgmental, ready to accept, and you are at peace, you are contented. So within your head, both of them are living. They already lived. Now you can understand sometimes the right side of the mind is the dominating, and there are not much of a decision necessary. You are ready to accept anything. You are ready to renunciate, and the contentment is there. And the other side, judgmental. So you are becoming aware of two things. Polarizing two things, and let that happen. See which one you prefer. You prefer no motivation, contented, happy life, or judgmental mental tension and frustration, or together with rebellion character. So let that precipitate, let that continue. You must not take part. And you must observe, you must let it happen and observe like a outsider. Just like in cricket, the video camera is observing everything. Everything has been reported, so you have to have a video camera, that is your mindfulness.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And my second question is more like related specifically to your instructions yesterday. So there was one part that my mind really liked in the morning practice, which was the quote that when the object changes, the mind is eager to interpret this as a lapse in mindfulness. So I tried to apply it to anapana, which for me is really difficult with closed eyes, because very quickly this habitual like closeness appears, and I think I reject some subtle sensations, and it all gets tighter and tighter. So I noticed the change in the mind, and I was like including these hindrances in the observation, and then I noticed that the breath is there. It's going to be, it's just tighter because there's this change in the mind. So the mind is changing. So the breath is changing because the one depends on the other, but nothing wrong is happening, right? So there could be normally this judgment that there's lapse in mindfulness, but I could also see that even when the hindrance appears, I can see that there's no loss. There doesn't have to be loss in mindfulness when there's a right view. So that was really interesting, because I could include more and more and just see something that normally I would feel as a really striving and bad meditation. I was able to like expand the mind and the object of the observation. So both the observing mind and the breath, and like seeing how obviously they change all the time. So that was like this more and more feeling of this like kind of over reaching flux. But then I felt that there's a limit to the how far I can get with the expansion of this flux, and it has to do with this like tension. But it feels like a right way for me. And the same, for example, normally whenever I start some task, then the resistance appears. So like the one the eager part wants to do something, and then there's a resistant part. And today I applied the same learning to this, and when I was writing something, and I just noticed that that seeing this as a resistance is a problem actually. So I tried to like expand, I don't know how to call it, like keep writing, but instead of resisting this, like keep learning from this and including this. And I started to feel like more the body better. So it feels like it's a good direction for me.
So that means you know how to love hindrances. You know how to love obsessional kind of defilements. Then you are better off. Your mindfulness is above and everything. Whether it is not with the primary object, not only with the hindrances, whatever it may be, mindfulness is riding the wave.
It's like remembering. Sorry.
Yeah, it is the way the Malunkya Putta Sutta is developing. So far, we discussed about the beginner's mind and the advancing mind. Now the Buddha and the Malunkya Putta come to the next episode. What will be the advanced mind? So just wait and see. We have a few more days. Be patient.
Okay, I will try to keep up from my household because I have to leave after Dhamma talk. But yeah, we'll do my best. And again, thank you very much. If I'm not able to join later,
good, welcome. I can't hear.
Nie počujem.
Zdravím vás, Bante.
Yeah.
Hello, Bante.
Yeah.
Now I can hear. V mojej meditácii pri chvodzi sa sústredujem na pozornosť venujem chodidlám, ale
in the walking meditation, I am focusing my attention on soles of the feet.
Good.
Dobre.
Ale menšiu polovicu toho času sa mi stáva, že mi mysel, sa mi pozornosť ako keby rozdvojila na predmet, ktorý ma vyruší.
But a niekedy actually what happens is that my attention is kind of divided into the things that are disturbing me.
Yeah.
A niekedy mi úplne uskočí.
And sometimes the attention is completely lost.
Ja si to všimnem a vrátim pozornosť zase na chodidla.
I recognized it and I bring attention back on the soles of the feet.
A pri meditácii v sede, posledné tri meditácie som venoval pozornosť nádychu, návrchu.
And in the last three meditations, sitting meditations, I paid attention to inhale and exhale on the rise and fall on the belly.
Okay.
Chcel som pozorovať, ako sa ponorím do toho dýchu. Už sa mi to párkrát podarilo.
I wanted to observe how I plunge into the breath and I succeeded a few times in the past.
Okay.
Ale posledné tri meditácie, akoby ten dých bol, akoby som pozoroval to brucho cez sklo. Nedokázal som sa do neho dostať.
But last three meditations, what happened? Is that as if I was observing the breath through a glass. I was not able to merge with it or get into it.
Good. Okay.
Dobre.
So, Lucas, what is his name?
Ako sa voláš?
Spelling, A-K.
Milan.
Prosím?
Spelling?
Milan.
Milan, M-I-L-A-N.
Okay. So, Lucas, help me. He says while he is in the walking meditation, his attention is on the foot or sole, but distractions are there. Sometimes he completely lost. But again, he reported the mind he can bring back to feet. How do you know the attention came from the distraction to the feet? What is the witness? How can he verify?
Spomenul si, že v meditácii v chôdzi je tvoja pozornosť na chodidlách a keď si všimneš, že myseľ je rozptýlená, tak si to uvedomíš a vrátiš pozornosť späť na chodidlá, ale ako si môžeš overiť, ako si si istý, že si opäť pozorný na chodidlá?
Tým, že nepozorujem nič iné.
By not observing anything else.
So that is something, a negative kind of answer. Yes, it is valid. How do you know it is now back to the legs, back to the soul? What are the touch, what are the experience, sensation, clue, as to say now it is back home? I am repeating the same question.
Čiže opak, toto bola akoby negatívna odpoveď v zmysle, že si niečo poprel, ale potom, kebyže máš niečo potvrdiť alebo popísať, že čo pozoruješ, že zopakujem znovu túto otázku, že kebyže máš povedať, že čo presne pozoruješ.
Presne pozorujem dotyk, dotykové body, chodidla zo zemou.
To be precise, I am observing the touching points of the sole of the feet with the ground.
Good. So he has to say, he is touching the heel, he feel hard, he feel soft. He feel heat. Likewise, if he can give the sap, give the juice, give that real touch, then the report will be very, very successful.
Čiže áno, kebyže povie, že pozoruješ petu, dotyk pety zo zemou a pozoruješ tvrdosť alebo mekosť tohto dotyku, tak vtedy by tá tvoja odpoveď bola veľmi úspešná alebo správna.
Okay, as far as the sitting is concerned, now he knows mind is with the in-breath and out-breath, but there's a distance. He is as if looking through a window-like. So more you observe, more you keep the in-breath and out-breath in view with, you have to see what happened to the glass or what happened to the mirror, the seen through glass or what happened to the in-breath and out-breath. So this is a good planting, settling, but you have to keep on observing. Then he can see whether you come more and more close to the in-breath, whether the in-breath is changing or exactly the same. Is the glass also permanent there or changing? Like, please ask him to continue and observe and report whenever possible.
A v meditácii v sede si hovoril, že pozoruješ nádych a výdych v stúpaní a klesaní brucha, ale že máš pocit, ako by si sa pozeral cez okno alebo cez nejaké sklo. A teraz ja by som ti chcel požiadať, aby si v tom pokračoval a aby si si bližšie všímal, že či mysel má sklon akoby byť, či sa dokáže akoby bližšie pozerať na nádych a výdych, alebo že či má sklon viac byť, ako sa mení, alebo ako zažíva to pozorovanie alebo zažívanie skrz to sklo, čiže skúsi toto viacej všímať.
OK.
V poriadku.
Ďakujem, Bante.
Tell him that looking at the feet in the walking meditation and observing at the nostrils or at the in-breath and out-breath in the sitting is correct method. Now he has already just started. Now he has to continue to observe and a lot of detail, lot of intrinsic characteristic is about to happen, so he has to go with hope, with confidence, so next report will be better than this one, hopefully.
Čiže je to správna metóda, toto pozorovanie chodidiel pri meditácii v chôdzi a pozorovanie nádychu a výdychu na špičke nosu alebo zdvíhanie, klesanie v brucha v meditácii v sede. Ale potom je nevyhnutné sa viac zamerať na pozorovanie detailov, či už v meditácii v chôdzi alebo pri pozorovaní dýchu v meditácii v sede. Keď sa viac bližšie zameriaš na pozorovanie týchto detailov, tak potom tvoja odpoveď bude akoby presnejšia.
Right.
Ďakujem.
Thank you.
Ďakujem. Lucas, you must teach me how to say thank you.
Yes, you are right, Bante. Ďakujem.
Ďakujem. Ďakujem, Lucas.
Okay, again. So, hello, Bante. This Hi. Is Michal. So this is last day of retreat for me as well. I'd like to give a report for like past day and today, early morning. So yesterday the need for sleep subsided. I mean, I have to take a little bit of food during the lunch, so there would be no, so I wouldn't overeat because the food portions here are pretty large. And then there was like no additional like bodily momentum to carry on the possible sleepiness. And then like sleepiness was pretty much gone. But then I was accosted by quite a lot of strong affections and regrets, which was at the start, it was weird. I mean, it happened during the walking meditation and sitting meditation. At the start, it was weird that there is so much of them because my sila in the household life was pretty okay. So it was like regrets. These were like regrets that I shouldn't be having, but I was having. So this was this kind of situations and some pretty strong affections. And like when walking and going back to the primary objects and them being the secondary objects, at some point and cycling through them, at some point I noticed that like, this is pretty much the way of the household life, that no matter what will I do, there will always be something that I will miss, something that I will regret, something that I will want, pretty much in accordance with the first noble truth. And those affections subsided a bit, and I decided to sit in the outside. And then there was like this, the not really affections, but the this emotional apparatus within the body flared up. Like really, I was feeling the tension in the jaws, tension in the throat, like beating of a heart and heaviness in the chest, and it was like really, really strong. So as much as I could, I tried not to push it away, just sit with it. And then and it was very interesting, and I was kind of disappointed in it. I've noticed that because I have some problems with the spine, I've noticed that I have some tension between the vertebrae in the chest that is causing this certain part of the nerves to flare up. So I've sat with it for some time, and then I decided I have to like restretch the body and so on, so just to put the spine at ease. And then when I did, this flaring up subsided. So this is the first part. Okay, and the second part.
Now let me just share with you. So that means you had some mental kind of regret, and then sleepiness is not there. Once that is gone, the physical kind of a thing. You get the tension in this place and that place and kind of thing. And you are going through. That means you are not self-accusing. You have the self-sympathy. And bodily expressions, you appreciate. You are not going to suppress them. Well, this is the way you are understanding slice by slice. And you are utterly within yourself. So I would say mindfulness is really, really working. That is how you can go through it and let it happen again and again. Then you will develop the mastery. You will season it, and you'll be happy to have it without much of affection, without much of weirdness. You can easily understand, hopefully. Okay, we are moving. We can go ahead.
Yes, and And the second part is for today's Yogi job, where I was loading the straw onto the truck bed with a pitchfork. And I was at the same time observing the soles of the feet, and then I saw that I can like expand the mindfulness as well to the hands simultaneously, because there was like very hard object within my hands, so it was easy to be mindful of that as well. And then I noticed that I can be mindful of the breath while loading the straw and like going through different bodily postures, and at the same time being mindful of soles of the feet, of the pressure on them, how the feet is planted on the soil, and about the temperature on the feet that is changing according with the movement. And then I saw that I can be as well mindful of whether the breath I'm taking is a long breath or a short breath. Most of them were the short breath. I took one or two of long breath as well, so to know the difference, what it would be like. But it was like the first time here now during this retreat when I was able to observe the whether the breath is long and short, like without that without that distorting everything else.
So that is how we put we make use mindfulness in day-to-day activities or while doing our duties. And once you develop that in the complete conducive situation in sitting meditation and expand a little to the walking meditation, they can use it for other works also. So therefore you have integrity. You have inward-like attention rather than outwardly. So therefore you love yourself. You make a friend with yourself. So these are very good characters. Turning point, usually these things happen only for children. Elderly people think, no, I can't change my character, I am so and so. But it is not so. If you observe mindfully, you are rejuvenating, you are reborn. Very good that we are sharing it with other meditators, and they also will get the benefit.
Thank you, Banta, and thank you for your sharing of Dhamma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, Jan, finished.
Yeah, Dumini has raised her hand. So, Dumini, you can ask a question. We still have a few minutes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Telon Sanai Bante. Well, I'm an outdoor person, so I love walking meditation. When I'm not doing anything, my mind goes to the body, and I know that I'm alive because there's a low voltage current type of a thing flows through the body. And initially, something passed from left side of my head to the right, and it happened for a few weeks. It was like emptying. Left side is emptying, like I felt like that. And now that has stopped. These days, what I am experiencing is back of my head, there are circular movements of current type of a thing going on. And sometimes it sparks and something goes out of my ears. I would like to get some advice from you, Bante.
So when things happen, when you experience these subtle things, are your awareness and mindfulness is increasing or doubts and unmindfulness increasing?
I think mindfulness is increasing.
So then you have nothing to ask from me. You have to be happy. Now your camera is well focused. So therefore you can see all the subtle details. Don't try to make a question out of that. This is how the precision, whenever the focusing happens, more details. So more you keep that span for longer time, you are still another kind of dimension is going to happen. So appreciate it. Continue with the quantity and quality. And one day you will come to the maximum of your human mind. We are using only a fraction of it, maybe 10%, less than 10%, 2%, 3%. When it's expanded, unbelievably it is wholesome, skillful, well-geared or well-zoomed. So expect them to happen. Continue, please.
Thank you very much, Manti. Tirvan Sarnai.
Tirvan Sarnai.
Okay, so if that's all from the online participants, we can close the session.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Lucas. And thank you, everyone.
We are sending greetings to all the countries that are joining. It seems this is an international retreat. Australia, India, Sri Lanka, Slovakia, maybe even some other countries. So sending metta to all of you. Bye-bye.
Sadhus.